Peter Butterworth is best known for invariably playing a bumbling buffoon in the Carry On films. Appearing in 16 of the classic and quirky comedies, his roles included Citizen Bidet, Kenneth Williams' sidekick in Carry On, Don't Lose Your Head, the money-grabbing farmer, Mr. Fiddler, in Carry On Camping, and the missionary, Brother Belcher, in probably my favourite, Carry On Up the Khyber. But behind the comedy, there is a secret story from World War II. Because Peter Butterworth was a pilot shot down just after Dunkirk and a captive in German prisoner of war camps for nearly 5 years. During which time he escaped, digging a tunnel using a soup spoon, was a member of the British Intelligence Unit, MI9, and was involved in the two famous breakouts from Stalag Luft 3 POW camp, both of which were made into films, The Wooden Horse and The Great Escape. In fact, his wartime story only came to light long after he had died. I'm Chris Green, the History Chap, telling stories that bring British history to life. And I'd like to thank listener Bob Taylor for suggesting this subject. So, Bob, this is for you. The little-known wartime story of Peter Butterworth. Born in Bramall, Cheshire, in 1915, Peter Butterworth qualified as a pilot at the outbreak of the Second World War and joined the Fleet Air Arm. There he was a lieutenant in 826 Naval Air Squadron, which was a torpedo bomber squadron. Butterworth piloted one of the squadron's 12 Fairey Albacore biplanes. 826's first operation was to attack German positions near Nieuport, Belgium, on the 31st of May 1940. About 30 kilometres, 20 miles east of Dunkirk, the attack was an attempt to buy time for the Allied troops awaiting evacuation from the port. Operation Dynamo, more often known as the Dunkirk evacuation, had begun just 5 days beforehand and would continue until the 4th of June. Just 3 weeks later, on the 21st of June, Butterworth was shot down whilst attacking a German seaplane base in Texel in the occupied Netherlands. His was one of two Fairey Albacores shot down by Messerschmitt Bf 109s in the operation. All three men in the second plane were killed, but Butterworth and his gunner survived and were captured. Lieutenant Peter Butterworth would remain a prisoner for the rest of the war. Initially, he was held at a POW camp near Frankfurt in Germany, but in 1941, he escaped. The escape itself was almost like something out of a Carry On film, with Butterworth endeavouring to dig a tunnel using a soup spoon. But it was no laughing matter. He was deadly serious. And incredibly, after digging for 6 months, a team of 17 prisoners did indeed manage to escape. Butterworth went on the run for 3 days until being captured by a member of the Hitler Youth. He was now sent to Stalag Luft 3 near Sargon in Poland. This was the POW camp made famous in two films, The Great Escape and The Wooden Horse. You might be surprised to hear that Peter Butterworth was involved in both of these escape plots. It was also whilst incarcerated at Stalag Luft 3 that Butterworth met Talbot Rothwell, and they formed a duo performing in camp shows. Peter Butterworth, despite having no acting experience, took to the stage like a duck to water, perfecting the bumbling style of comedy that would endear him to Carry On fans. The two men would remain lifelong friends. Two more men that Butterworth performed alongside, and who would also be friends after the war, were John Casson and Rupert Davis. Davis would go on to famously play the lead character in the 1960s BBC detective series, Margrave. Whilst The Great Escape involved more prisoners escaping and is more famous as a film, Peter Butterworth was involved in a successful escape nearly 6 months before that one. In October 1943, three prisoners managed to tunnel out of the camp. And whilst Butterworth was not one of those men, he was involved in the team that made their breakout possible. Like most military operations, and I guess a lot of life in general, the people who get the glory only do so thanks to a team of unsung heroes behind them. Unsung heroes like Peter Butterworth. Stalag Luft 3 had been deliberately designed for prisoners who tried to escape. Not only was it further east and thus further from the escape routes to Spain and Switzerland, but the Germans had installed seismographs to detect vibrations from digging. They'd also moved the perimeter fence a lot further from the prisoners' huts, meaning that tunnels would have to be a lot longer than the one that Peter Butterworth had dug with his soup spoon. Somehow, the POWs needed to shorten that distance, and they came up with a cunning and audacious plan. They constructed a gymnastics vaulting horse made from stolen wood, with a cushion made from the wrappings from cigarette packets on top. This wooden horse would be used as part of the men's exercise regime. However, that's not all it was designed for. The wooden horse, with a digger secretly hidden inside, was carried across the parade ground and placed near to the perimeter fence, or at least a lot nearer than the huts were. The digger started tunnelling into the sandy soil. And as he advanced underground towards the fence, the digger used plywood from Red Cross packages to shore up the tunnel. At the end of the day, the digger would retrace his route and climb back inside the wooden horse, having placed a wooden board over the tunnel entrance and covered it with soil. The vaulting horse would then be transported back to the huts, where the digger would drop out along with the bags of soil that he had excavated. As the fresh soil was damp, and if it was dropped around the camp would be spotted by the guards, it was dried in the attic above the canteen before being spread on the parade ground. Now, do you remember the seismographs listening in for digging vibrations? How could the diggers avoid detection? Well, the wooden horse had another purpose. It was genuinely used for fitness training. Men would run up and vault the horse all day long. The constant vibrations from the running, leaping and landing so close to the fence made the German seismograph completely useless. And one of the men chosen to practice leaping over that horse for hours on end was Lieutenant Peter Butterworth. He also played a further role. The closer the diggers got to the fence, Butterworth and Talbot Rothwell would put on impromptu reviews and productions. Lots of singing, laughter and audience participation added to the confusion of the Germans listening for any telltale signs of scraping and digging. After 114 days of digging, in October 1943, Lieutenants Eric Williams, Canadian-born Oliver Philpott and Lieutenant Michael Kottner successfully escaped. All three made it back to the UK via neutral Sweden. Eric Williams would later write a book about this escape, and then the screenplay, which was turned into the film, The Wooden Horse. And I have a funny story about Peter Butterworth and that film in a little while, so stay tuned. As an aside, Lieutenant Michael Kottner was killed during the Himalayan emergency in 1952. I've told the story of that military campaign in episode 79, so maybe check it out after this one. In March 1944, a further and far more ambitious escape took place from Stalag Luft 3. 76 Allied POWs made a bid for freedom. This is the story behind the film The Great Escape. Once more, Peter Butterworth was part of the supporting team that made that mass escape possible. Yet again, he presided over an increase in noisy theatrical shows to conceal sounds of digging. He also organised for soil from the tunnels to be secretly placed under the seating in the camp theatre to dry out. And from there, the dry soil would be casually dropped and stamped into the parade ground. In the end, only three of the escapees made it all the way home. The rest were rounded up, and on the orders of Hitler, 50 were executed. So maybe it was lucky for Peter Butterworth and for Carry On fans that he wasn't one of the 76. He was to remain a prisoner in the camp until the end of the war. But his secret wartime service was not over. Records recently uncovered by Dr. Will Butler at the National Archives shed light on another clandestine role played by Peter Butterworth. He was a member of MI9, the military intelligence agency responsible for organising prisoner escapes. Back in Britain at their HQ at Wilton Park in Buckinghamshire, members of MI9 included Michael Bentine, founder member of The Goon Show, who reported into Colditz escapee and future Member of Parliament, Airy Neave. Neave famously was assassinated by Irish Republican terrorists in 1979. It seems that Peter Butterworth became responsible for encoding simple POW letters home with hidden intelligence. He also became a talented forger whilst in the camp. Having spent 5 years as a POW, he was finally liberated in 1945. Demobbed, Peter Butterworth decided to build upon his wartime acting experiences and embark on an acting career in Civvy Street. He started out in pantomime before getting his first film role as a postman in When William Comes to Town in 1948. his career would encompass 69 film appearances. The following year, he auditioned for a wartime film. Yes, you've guessed it, The Wooden Horse. As a genuine POW from Stalag Luft 3, who'd actually been involved in vaulting the horse, it was probably the easiest audition he ever had. So imagine his shock when he didn't get a part. Upon inquiring as to why he'd been passed over, he was told he was not heroic looking or athletic enough. Well, maybe he didn't get a part in a film about an event he'd actually participated in, but at least he had the good fortune to now be married. In 1946, he had tied the knot with actress Janet Brown, who would become a celebrated impressionist, not least impersonating Margaret Thatcher. Janet had also served in the war, in the Auxiliary Territorial Service, from where she too had entered acting. In her case, she was the first female to appear as a performer with stars in battle dress. Now, you may very well have heard of ENTSA, the Entertainment's National Service Association, who provided entertainments for British military personnel during the Second World War. Well, ENTSA were civilian actors and actresses, and were not authorised to go close to the frontline positions, which meant the only military who could be entertained were those away from the action. To remedy this, people actually in the armed forces with performing experience were pulled out to form another unit, Stars in Battle Dress. Stars in Battle Dress performers who became well-known artists after the war included Charlie Chester, Dick Emery, Tony Hancock, Spike Milligan, and Terry Thomas. Also in the number was Kenneth Connor, who would join Peter Butterworth in the cast of Carry On. In fact, Kenneth Connor would appear in 16 Carry On films, as well as 62 episodes of Hello, Hello, playing Monsieur Alphonse the Undertaker. Peter Butterworth and Janet Brown would be married until his death and would have two children. After the war, Butterworth kept in touch with old POW comrade Talbot Rothwell. Rothwell had ended up writing most of the skits that Peter had performed back in Stalag Luft 3, and by the 1960s was the key scriptwriter for the Carry On films. It was Rothwell who penned the immortal line uttered by Kenneth Williams in Carry On Cleo. Infamy, infamy, they've all got it, infamy. Well, he introduced Peter Butterworth to the producer, Peter Rogers, and he was handed his first Carry On role in 1965 as Doc in Carry On Cowboy. He became an ever-present member of the cast until the very final Carry On film in 1978. As I mentioned earlier, some of his roles included appearing in the spoof of the French Revolution and Scarlet Pimpernel story, Carry On, Don't Lose Your Head. He was also in Carry On Camping, I bet some of you are doing a Sid James laugh now, and in Carry On Up the Khyber. And in that last film, he famously attends a dinner party at the British Residency while it's under attack. Maybe you remember that one. As his Carry On film slowed down, Butterworth began to focus on straight roles, including a small part in the 1976 Robin Hood film, Robin and Marian, starring Sean Connery, Richard Harris, and Audrey Hepburn. He joined Connery again in 1978 for the film The First Great Train Robbery, set during the Crimean War. It was just after that film had been released that Peter Butterworth died of a heart attack in January 1979. He was 63. He was buried at Dane Hill Cemetery in East Sussex, where Janet Brown was laid beside him when she died in 2011. Peter Butterworth, comedy legend and secret wartime hero. It goes to prove you shouldn't always judge a book by its cover. Well, thanks for joining me today, and I hope you enjoyed that little-known story about Peter Butterworth's wartime service. As I said earlier, this episode was suggested by listener Bob Taylor. So if you have any stories you'd like me to research and tell, please drop me a line via my website. I'm Chris Green, the History Chap. Until next time, thanks for your support. Keep well, and I'll speak to you again very soon.